And we're back.
Black and a Half with Silas Sunnenstein,
Manny Martin, and
Samantha Ron.
Yes, Samantha. Woo!
Your three favorite
in
people.
For a hostful. A hostful episode.
Yep.
Number 80.
80. Yeah, man.
80, we hit another digit milestone. Pass. Another digit. You know what? And then we get to, you know how we're celebrating number 80?
How's that?
We're a special shout out to our first Patreon.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Our first patron
signed
up for Patreon, Mr. Stephen Ward.
My guy.
Our hero.
Yes.
He's our hero. He's the breaking legend. In there.
One of Seattle's all-time best comics, but he refuses to get back on stage.
One line, he's a pun ninja.
He is. Awesome. Oh my god, always some of there. The best. He was like,
you never met him. You should follow him, and you can get.
I literally wanted to buy some of his jokes off of him. Like he had this one. He was like, you know what my nephew wanted to be for Halloween. I was like, what? He was like, legitimate. I was like, oh, that's so good. Oh man.
So hey, yeah. So and he's. On the level that
yes.
he gets to gets a shout out on each episode.
Boom.
So, and if you become a patron of Black and a Half by going to patreon.com / Black and a Half, and you pick whichever donation level you want. If you pick the $8 one, you get a shout out on each episode. Hopefully we get so many on here, half the episode is just saying hi, right? I didn't really think that through. I'll have to adjust down the road.
Yeah.
But
do me a favor. If you are a fan of us, add Stephen Ward on Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitter, all that shit.
And check out his punny works.
Yeah. It's so good.
This episode, though, besides being featuring that and crossing over to number 80, you get to hear my sad ass story.
Oh.
An incident happened a couple weeks ago now. From when you're listening to this, at least. And I said I would share it on the podcast. Now, I didn't let this happen. I did not write it because I wanted people just to come listen to the podcast. If that helps, you know, that's just what it does. But it was a hard story to, there was so much, I felt like I needed to verbalize it.
A lot of emotion
what happened.
Behind it.
Traumatic. Almost kind of need video. So. A big incident happened to me in a Lyft ride that's changing my perspective on a lot of things. And
we
talk about
it.
That for a while and then get some conspiracy theories. And then
we have some good nerd news for you.
Yeah. The good nerd news. Work into some filmmaking. We talk about making movies and
talk about auditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have a few opinions on the Joker. We try to hold off the spoilers or give us some warnings
but
on
we
it. But
spoiled
we
spoiled this shit out of it.
But there's some things about it. So.
Not really.
We didn't really spoil much
I tell you
to
fast forward.
Just be ready to hit that forward 15-second button if you're on that app a couple times. But there's
only
ample
twice.
Warning.
Yeah.
Ample warning for
I'll
it.
I'll let you know.
But we got opinions. I got opinions on the movie. You know what? And I'll say this. I hope to God we get more movies in comic book genres that people will sit around and discuss.
Yeah.
Not just, did you like it? Didn't like it? Or, it wasn't like the comic book. Like, actually discussing what this movie was about and what things meant. I love that.
That's fun.
For me, that's why this is the movie that I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
People to talk about comic books like they mean something, you know?
Good job,
mainstream. DC. Yeah. So that's what we talked about. And
what's today's episode brought to you by, Silas?
Today's episode is brought to you by your back.
Oh.
Because you better be watching it.
Yeah, damn right.
Right?
That's in this day and age.
Since 1975. Patreon. Please go like our Facebook page. You can do that. Go to Instagram. Try to remember to pop some stuff off over there.
Yeah.
Woody's. I have a new regular show at a dive bar. I mean, it's a dive bar, but we actually had a... someone running for city council in there other night. Yeah. Second Wednesday of each month.
Nice.
Try to remember that.
Okay.
At Woody's Bar or Tavern.
I love that I called it the wrong place when I was on stage.
That was great. That was awesome.
That place was a lot of fun.
7:30 show actually now.
Okay.
Moving it early because of all the been requested by some of the working folks there.
Okay.
The guy told me, they have some of the people here, they have jobs. I was like, motherfucker, everyone has job, all right? Don't have to start early, but fine, whatever. Make some drink.
There
good.
You go.
Second, check that out. Second Wednesday.
Make sure you support it.
And Yeah. And big thank you to Skyline Properties for letting us use the space to record. And of course, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, please go to silasgetsreal.com. Go ahead and email me and I can hook you up because I'm a real estate agent. And that's what I do when I'm not recording with black people. I'm not recording with black people. I'm showing white people around for the most part. Black home ownership, you know, it's actually less now than it was during the civil rights movement.
No shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
So we gotta step that up.
Let's get it going, black people. Let's get some
home.
Property. That's how you gain wealth.
That's right. Yes. And also by posting on Facebook.
There you go. And
that
also
gives you wealth too.
Make sure you check out the sister podcast where Silas tells you a little bit more about real estate.
If you are interested in buying a home, go to yourbuyingahome.com and check that out. I got a podcast about that. It works nationwide. So even if you're not in the Seattle area, you can listen to that and learn
and
a lot.
It's on your site.
And that's it for our sponsorships. And but hey, if you want to sponsor this show, if you want to be a sponsor besides Patreon, you know, if you give me some money, we'll fucking talk about your dumb business. Right? Whatever. What's
or your awesome business.
What do you sell? What do I care? Yeah. What do you sell? Whatchamacallits?
Yeah. Oh,
that's all they sell.
Chewy, chocolatey, scrumptious.
I purposely did the whole 30 in time that I would not be doing it for Halloween.
Oh, thank God.
Because last year, I think, or when I did it last time, I couldn't eat chocolate.
Can you imagine if you were doing that shit during Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I was just thinking during the holidays, that'd suck.
Ooh. That's why, actually, when I did that one year, I was like, I got to do it now so I'm clear for Thanksgiving. Yeah. But I'm getting my gym membership on Monday.
Which gym?
Hey.
I'm just going to do YMCA. Okay. It's down the street. The big reason is because I need to work out during the day when I have the kids. And apparently, with a membership, I can it's free childcare for an hour and a half, 2 hours, so I can bring them in. I don't like, if I go to like 24-hour fitness, it's like $6 a kid.
Ugh.
Just adds up if you're trying to go a lot.
Seriously. Yeah.
So, and then you have to worry about them screaming. But I'm like, it's free. I don't care about them screaming.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah. It's like, dude, it's free. Sit in there, shut up and play. Daddy's trying to not be fat.
Yeah, right. Dude, I wish we have a gym at work. It's not the best, but it works.
Oh, that's
did you
nice.
Quit LA Fitness?
No. It's just.
Oh, you just pay for it?
Yeah, but it's like, there's this where I go on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Workout, so try to use it at least, four times a month.
You're rocking it. Where do you go?
Oh, aren't you kind? I haven't worked out in months.
Nope. Isn't it hard?
Need to.
Oh, you don't need to, though.
I do. I mean, thank you. But no, I feel like my body just getting stiffer from not working out. Because now I feel like the time when I would be working out, I'm like walking the dog or petting the dog.
I feel like we
or
need
doing
to
do a mic or like, you know, like just.
You can lose weight just walking a dog.
I don't walk it that far.
Fido, like, take a shit now.
Let's go.
This dog makes some heavy doo-doos. I'm telling you, probably doing some weight training.
What kind of dog
is it?
Stuff up. It's not even big. It's a big fat dog, but it's little fat little sausage. It's like a half corgi, half beagle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not huge.
No, he's not. He's just.
That was a little fun sex romp for a corgi and a beagle.
Was it?
Yeah.
Let's get it going.
Oh, yeah, right?
These two.
Well, apparently beagles are pretty stubborn. So
really?
Like that's a reason why they like to mate them with corgis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you mate them. You don't breed them. No, I'm kidding. That's why they do their conjugal visit. No.
That's awesome.
But it's supposed to make it, you know, the beagle not as stubborn. Oh, man.
Okay.
Corgi and a...
Yeah.
And a beagle.
Yeah, and he does not like the rain.
No.
Actually, I got to leave pretty fast after this
podcast
to get him to go potty because I tried to get him to go before I left. He wouldn't.
Oh,
okay. No, and this morning when I was taking him out, and it was just drizzling.
Yeah.
I'm taking him out, and then like he's, you know, and then he just lifts his paw up, and he doesn't want to go, and he lifts his paw up, and he's looking at it. I thought he hurt himself.
Right.
But it's really just the rain on his delicate little diva.
Yeah.
He can't handle it.
Yeah.
He's got a raincoat coming in the mail for him, so hopefully that helps.
Always have your raincoat.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was something my mother always told me.
There you go.
All right. But here we are, episode number 80, the one where Silas shit his pants.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
It's a lot harder to talk about than I plan. I've been feeling really weird.
Dude, now, it's a hard place to be vulnerable.
Manny knows the story.
Yeah.
He didn't call me. Manny's the first person that I talked to and was able to tell without crying. Cause like it was a weird thing. And I feel like, so I'm about to tell the story for anybody who follows me on Facebook. I had an incident Sunday that shook me up a lot. Well, Sunday a couple weeks ago, whatever you're listening to.
Yeah.
So what happened was I was driving for Lyft on a Sunday afternoon. So, and I'm like, just for background, I was one of the founding Seattle Lyft drivers. So, and I looked it up. I have about 7,000 rides between Uber and Lyft. That's what I've got about that. So, and I've had a few little tough spots, mm-hmm. but for the most part, it's been pretty incident free. Like I hear other people's stories and I'm like, well, that's why I don't drive at night. You right. know, like I drive during the day sometimes. And this was just an afternoon. So it was like 3:30, I think, in the afternoon.
Oh, so the sun's still out.
Oh yeah. Like, okay. No, this was day. It's not. I had gotten a ride, like it was a really fun ride of like a carpool set of people, and then I dropped them off, and then the last person was a drop off in Kirkland. Mm-hmm. And so I dropped in Kirkland, and then I was excited because I got a ding there, and I don't usually get rides in Kirkland that much. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh good, like I want to get somebody going somewhere,
right?
So I don't have to drive back empty. And so I go to this area. You know, and things are clicking in my head now that wasn't in the moment. But so there's this guy and he's not really standing in front of a house. Just mm-hmm. like he's kind of like on a corner there. And so he's a black guy, but he's like African black
in Kirkland.
But he's dressed. He's an American. And like when he came in, he's American. He reminded me of like Abraham, you know,
right.
like probably first generation.
OK.
Here. But he was clearly like African.
Yeah.
I pick him up and he gets in the front seat, which is not unusual in Lyft at all. It used to be the way they wanted it. Mm-hmm. They encourage people when you first did it to do that. And I always liked it because it usually means they're going to be talking to you and like, okay, that's cool. A relaxed ride. So he hops in and I say, hey, so what are you up to today? And he's like, oh, just going around all over. And I'm like, oh, selling stuff. First, I was like, when he said it, my first thought was religion, right? He's like going around religion door to door. What I don't know why, but I've dropped Jehovah's off before and stuff. So, and then he's like, nah, kind of, you know. And then I was like, oh, drugs, shit. I don't want to say anything else. Yeah. Like, okay. And then I forget what I said, but then he's like, I'm just in town, like, I'm up from LA, up here to warn people about dangers. And I'm like, all right. At first I didn't know if he was pulling my leg or not, like messing, like, I'm like, all right. Okay. That's cool. And, as we're like starting to head out toward the highway, cause he's going back to Seattle, which I was stoked about. Cause it's like a long ride. It's like, I'm going to get like $25 just off of that. And he says, it's like, yeah, you know, it's you see that building over there, like all the squares, that's like Illuminati. Like it's warning. And I'm like, at that point, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. OK, I'm like, part of me is like, I should pull over. I don't want to deal with this. But then I'm like, it's a long ride. I don't know if I'll get another one. And it's fine. I can deal with a little.
Right.
Because like, there's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're crazy. They're like, they're kind of a little fun. Not my thing. They're young, whatever. Then there's crazy. And then there's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't want to deal with fucking crazy. But he just seemed like, oh, he's a little crazy.
A little bit weird.
Oh, Illuminati.
Just
okay.
Talking.
Yeah.
I'll go
yeah.
with this. See how this goes. And then we get on the highway, and then he starts talking about how there's a. He's like, yeah, man, I've just been watching. I got to see some messages, and you know, some of it's out there. If you know how to find it, you can. And the stuff I saw just blew my mind, and I knew I needed to come up and maybe warn people because it's scary. It's scary what's going to be going on. And like, oh, really? Okay. And so you're just up here to let people know? And he's like, yeah, I'm going around telling people because it's going to be bad. It's going to be like a 9/11, you know, like, but in Seattle. Going to be happening in November, and I need people to know. Like, okay, and then I'm like, all right, well, this is okay, a little further. And so I like ask, so are you from Seattle originally? Do you have family here? He's like, yeah, I have some family up here, and they want me to, yeah, they keep saying, oh, I want to come meet you, I want to come talk to you for the first time, but you know, like, I'm like, yeah, but I gotta warn, but he knew he had to do this, and man, they're gonna find out. It's gonna like he would say. So he's like, that's this cryptic thing going too, like won't say everything. And I'm like, I don't know if he wants me asking questions or what's going on, but I'm starting to get really kind of tense about this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't like what he's sending off. And it was somewhere on the 405 before I got to Bellevue that he started, and this is hard to describe for listeners, but like, imagine he's sitting in the front seat, and he puts his hands on top of his pants, like, and starts rubbing like his pockets, and it looks like he's starting to feel for something.
Oh God!
And like, and I'm looking like, what's he feeling for? And I'm trying to look like, oh, whatever, yeah,
yeah.
And but it looks like he's feeling for something. And then I noticed that he has a jacket on, and it's kind of like it's a little bigger. And I'm like, I don't, dude, does he have anything?
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried. Like, suddenly I'm like, does he have a gun or like, what kind of crazy? Now I'm like, wait, what kind of crazy is this? Is he a crazy like, oh, like he's on the corner holding up a sign that says, you know, 9/11's coming, or is he crazy like he'll take himself out,
right,
kind of thing?
Right.
And as I'm driving, and I'm like, I try to, there's a lot of silence, and then I'll try to bring up something like away from the topic or something, but it keeps coming back. You'll say, it's such a beautiful area, the trees, man, it's just going to be bad. And I'm like, all right, this is like, he keeps coming back to the stuff about how bad it's going to be. And mm-hmm. it's going to mess up a lot. A lot of people are going to be surprised. And then I'm on I-90 at one point, and I'm like, and I even feel like I haven't said, like, I'm having a hard time expressing how, like, it just started feeling dark around me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he was, of what he was saying. Because I know I have some things that are starting to get out of order on where he said it. But I knew that there was a point on I-90 that I started getting nervous about the way he was twitching and kind of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And like something was going to, I was like, I do not feel good about this. Like, and I'm looking at where we're going, like just downtown. I was like, I don't like this. I'm not sure I like where we're going. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's. How does this end? And I'm trying to bring a little levity to it. But as I'm on I-90, I'm like, I'm worried about being on this bridge right now. Right. I start thinking about that. I'm like, I just want to get home to see my family. Is this guy going to go nuts and grab the wheel, try to turn us off? Like, what's going? So I actually move into the center lane to have the most. And I start thinking if something I'm going to slam. If he pulls anything out, I'm slamming on the gas. Or the brake.
Right.
I want to get hit.
Totally.
Like, I'm thinking about it. I want to get hit from behind.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hit something, right, and airbags to inflate, knock us both out. Right.
Right.
That's like, I was like, because I'm like, I already checked my side. I was like, I don't have anything over here right now. I used to.
Yeah.
I used to carry a screwdriver there in case of someone needed a screwdriver, right?
In the throat.
Yeah. Not a weapon. You can't carry weapons in me.
Yeah.
But I can have a screwdriver in case someone needs to unscrew something, right?
You're right.
So, but I don't have anything here. It's in the newer car. So I'm like, I don't have anything. And I have my hand up on the steering wheel so that if you did, I'd have something to block.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was like, well, you want to, I remember reading like, it, get your hands cut up if that's what needs to happen.
Right.
Your hands get cut up. And also like protecting the wheel, you know? And like, I shouldn't have been a smart ass, but I guess I did say like, because as we're approaching the other side, he's like, such a gorgeous skyline, you know, it's too bad, you know, like another thing like that. And I was like, well, have you been to Gasworks Park? I'm like, what? And he's like, what? I'm like, Gasworks, it's over there. It's like north. It's a really good view of the skyline. It's like pretty cool. It's like the best view. Yeah. And he's like, no. And it seems like he's getting mad that I'm not like engaging him about this.
Mm-hmm.
But I did ask him, he's like, so you told other drivers, what did they say? And they're like, well, the one Uber driver, he was really accepting. You know, he listened. He listened a lot. I'm like, okay. I'm like, and I said, so do you have a regular job? And he goes, a regular job? I'm like, well, you know, like I'm not like, Uber's not my regular job. Like,
yeah.
It's only a part-time thing. But at this point, I don't want to even tell him what I do. You know,
right.
I don't want any. And I was like, oh, that was a mistake. And we're like in the tunnel there. And I'm like, so where is it? Where are we? Oh, before we got on I-90, he was like, I'm like, so where are we heading now for you? And he's like, back to my crib. And I'm like, I said, your crib? He goes, yeah, my crib. Yeah, it's a slang term. I'm like, well, said, yeah, but you said you were from L.A. So he's like, right, well, it's the place I'm staying while I'm here. I was like, oh, because I thought crib was your home. And he's like, no, that's a hardened view of it. Like, it's a hardened word. That's a hardening of the word. I was like, oh, but it was like that show on MTV, my Cribs. He's like, what? I'm like, it was a show on Cribs. Like, it was about your house. Like, what? Yeah, they'd done it up. He's like, oh, they hardened it, man. That's because they hardened it. We harden these things so they mean, and things aren't supposed to be hardened.
Right.
Like, okay. And then, so then it was like, I don't know, 7 minutes later that we're under the tunnel. And I'm like, so what was it? Are we going to Belltown, Queen Anne? And he's like, what? I'm like, Belltown or Queen, are we, which are we going there? Or did you just like drop the pin somewhere? And he goes, yeah, I just dropped it somewhere. Like, okay. Huh. And then I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna finish this ride. Like, I knew, I was like, I gotta, if he doesn't do anything beforehand, I'm not going to where that is.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be there. Even though I didn't think it seemed like a fine area, but it was like, I think it was like Belltown bordering Queen Anne.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's not enough people there.
How much further was it from where you guys were at?
So we were, I was just getting off the I-90 exit. So mm-hmm. I-90, so probably another possible 10 minutes. And
okay.
I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And so actually the GPS said it wanted me to go through the city. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, good, because I was going to make up. Because I had already been like trying to find a reason to get off on Belltown, whatever. And my thoughts, so you know where I'm at, like I had been thinking about if I saw State Patrol,
mm-hmm.
what I would do. Because I thought about like maybe I should pull, like if I saw State Patrol, just pull over real fast.
Right.
And be like, oh, and try to get out. But then I started thinking about cops shooting people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to jump out of my car like at a State Patrol. It's probably going to like shoot
Kill
me.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, I can't startle. I'm like, okay, so at least I know this is what's going on.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to cause. I'm like, what if I see a cop? What do I do? And so I was kind of like, well, maybe if there's a cop, I can do something as we're getting through the city. If I'm near somewhere, I can get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get on the off ramp to Madison, like by the Poly Clinic on Madison, so
yeah.
We're up there. So 7th, 8th, and Madison. Okay, now you'll be able to see what he was doing. He puts his hands together and like pushes them forward and like cracks them.
Mm-hmm.
And then takes his hands and starts making little fists and loosening.
Yeah.
And then stretches his back. And the moment he does this, like, it, which is, so if you can imagine, I'm taking my hands and making a fist and like putting him out, like loosening him.
Like you're getting ready to fight.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, I was like, this looks like he's ready to fight. I was like, I'm a fucking no, this is not going to happen. And so I slowed down a little bit so that I could see the timing on the lights because I saw them from, I know the lights enough from driving.
Yeah.
I'm like, how they go. So I knew it was going to be red by the time I got up there. Mm-hmm. And he's doing this movement stuff. And we get there. I stop and I pause for a second and then I move it into park real fast because that was the part I hadn't thought of. I was like, oh, I got to move it into park.
Shit. Yeah, yeah.
And so I put it into park and then I open the door and hit my buckle simultaneously, grab my phone because I'm not fucking leaving that.
Right.
And then I jump out. Didn't turn the car off. I should have hit the button to turn it off, but I didn't think of that. But I jump out and like he's like suddenly startled. You can see him and then he opens his door and like kind of starts getting out. And I look at him. I'm like, the ride's done. And he's like staring at me. I'm like, we're done. And he kind of like throws his hand up like to flip me off, but he didn't know like how to. I don't know.
Right.
He like kind of starts walking off in a different direction than I was going to be heading.
Yeah.
And when he leaves, the funny part, there was a homeless guy near there.
Yeah.
Who had crossed the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the homeless guy thought I was trying to like get him some money. But he's like, huh? Like, well, oh, like, what, like, he was like, oh, me? I'm like, no. And then I get back in the car and I drive over and then I call the Lyft, try to get all the Lyft support.
Yeah.
And then
how long did Lyft support take?
Motherfuckers, 5 minutes first to get to a guy. And then I told him what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like crying at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tense. And to get to the, like, I got near the end, but he's like, okay, sir, I don't want to interrupt you, but I need to get you to a support person. So I'm like, what the fuck was this? I was like talking to you for 5 minutes. Because he asked me what's going on. It's a support number. And so he sends me over 15 fucking minutes
until
I got to a person. I had moved at this point. I was like away because I'm like, I don't want this guy coming up the bat. It took 15 minutes. And I was pretty pissed off about that. And then I told her the story. And like I feel like even telling this, like I didn't tell, like it's hard to get across the darkness that I felt during this. And I'm in the middle of this and I'm on I-90 and I could almost, like I'm just trying to stay calm, but in my, like I'm going nuts inside.
Right.
And I'm thinking about like, I'm about to get murdered in a fucking Lyft while I'm on hole 30, right?
Yeah.
So I had a good meal. So like I'm pissed about that. I'm pissed. I'm like, I want to see my family.
Right.
And I started thinking about, I love my family and I just want to see them. And I can't just not come home.
Yeah.
Because of a fucking crazy guy.
Dude.
Who thinks saw something.
Like for real, like the mental health thing. Like, well, I want to come back to the story, but Crystal was actually, she was helping at a shelter and she was like feeding people. Right. You know, and with her brother who's recently out of jail. And so this guy comes up, you know, young black, kind of like, I'd say around our age, you know, and got this really like dope jacket on. Clearly he painted it. And Crystal's like, oh my God, that's an amazing like coat. He was like, yeah, you know, time's just been hard, but you know, yeah, I painted this myself and you know, things are going to get back on track. And she's like, good. And he was like, yeah, I finally found out what was going wrong. And she was like, what's up? And he's like, you see this? And he pulls a little like plastic bag out and he said, see, there was this piece of lint in my coat that was keeping me from doing like, or, you know, getting ahead. And she was like, dude, buddy, like she didn't say this to him, but she was like literally he seemed like he was normal, but there was like something deeper there, that mental health.
Ex-stepfather, he said he recorded my mom talking about guys or something like, and he sat the whole family down to listen to this tape and put it in and playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, see? And the kids were like, Dad, stop. There was nothing on the tape.
That's crazy.
And he could hear things.
That's funny.
And nobody could, there was nothing going on. That's fucking where crazy is, right?
I mean, literally, like schizophrenia, like my brother-in-law has it. And if he doesn't take his meds, he hears certain voices just saying random ass shit to him. So, you know, he's luckily, you know, being taken care of. But he says some of them are like, oh, well, from what I hear, some of them are mean. Yeah. Some of them are kind. Some of them just say crazy batshit.
When someone says Illuminati, I mean, what do you think? Because I kind of think like, first I'm like you're joking, right?
Yeah.
Well, Illuminati? That's the thing. Really? Like of all the, what a hack premise of a conspiracy, right?
And here's the thing, like, so love, I won't say the person, I love this person, but they're probably going to be like in their, they're in their mid 70s, but they stay on the internet and they go down these rabbit holes online and they really believe that there's like George Soros is doing all this shit and that, you know, Hillary Clinton was like, you know,
yeah,
with babies and all this other shit. And it's just,
wait, what, babies?
I don't know, like serving up baby, like, oh, they believe that, that, liberals are sucking the blood or taking the blood out of like young people and like drinking it to keep themselves youthful. And I was like, does that even seem fucking feasible to you? Like,
I have heard of transfusions.
Vampires.
Well, I mean,
people are doing transfusions,
but maybe there's transfusion, but I mean, that, like, literally absurd. They were like saying that they were eating babies and like shit to like stay youthful, which was insane. But the mental health thing is real. And back to your story, there's nothing like feeling fucking vulnerable and not knowing what's coming. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and, you know, I know you said you were like, you were crying, but when you have that adrenaline and you have nowhere else to take it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, it's like I used to get in fights like when I was like in junior high. And after like I would be rumbling with somebody, it's like you have all this extra energy and then it just comes out and you just start crying.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts.
All night. Like I would just be walking around fine. And suddenly I would just like think about like I could have died.
Yeah, man.
Crying. And I think, I mean, adding to it, I think, is that an old friend of mine had died.
Right. So it makes,
you know,
more
a month
real.
Ago, and then I'd come home a few days later,
right,
and went to the backyard, and a giant, you know, limb had fallen where everyone plays, and I was
geez.
Like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I just feel like all these things, like, so I don't know if that helped add to it. I don't know if someone else wouldn't have felt the anxiety I did doing that. I even, like, part of me is, like, relaying the story. I'm just like, why was I so scared?
Right.
Like,
because
but
why would you not have been scared? I went, well, and also, not to cut you off, but like you were there, you had that experience, you felt the energy. Like the difference of like somebody could just be sitting right across from you.
Yeah.
And if their energy just switches, like you felt this dark energy, you don't have to discount. You know what I mean? It was real. It was real. And you were afraid because you should have been afraid.
Yeah. A couple, you know, there's been a couple, I know, drivers that I knew in the past, the former Lyft drivers, they talked about that, like one, my friend Jennifer, she said she drove this guy that she never felt such, she's like, I feel like this guy's a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Like just such as darkness entered when he went. And she was never like more nervous driving somebody for no reason. Like she admits, nothing happened that seemed weird except she thought he was a murderer and dropped him off and she felt like everything went away.
Wow.
The second he walked in.
Sometimes
well, I mean,
you can
like,
see, you can feel the energy of certain
like
people.
Like dogs can.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we sometimes? You know, I mean, you know, like dogs are better at picking up on
totally.
It. But,
well,
you know.
I guess the real question I want to know is, did you still get paid? Did he tip you? And did you give him a 5-star rating?
I didn't get a tip. No, okay. 1-star. I couldn't call anybody without finishing the ride.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, I don't want him to rate me.
Yeah.
Rate me. I don't want him to.
Or either.
Neither one. But
yeah.
Rate. I didn't want him to rate me. So I did 1-star.
Yeah.
And then because that's supposed to be your son. It used to be when we started, it was like, this person should not only, I don't want to be paired with him again.
Right.
I don't think he should be allowed on the platform was
totally.
What it was. And so I did that. And then when I finally found the number for support and called. Well, first I wasn't sure if I should call 911. And I was like, what are the police going to do? He already walked off. He didn't actually pull anything. I think I've been meant to call the police today. I'm going to call tomorrow. Just, I don't think he's crazy. And I think I should just probably say, because if something happened in November, I'd be like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
no, scary.
I mean,
that's
I don't think
thing.
Anything. And I'll be like, look, this guy's crazy, but I'm like, I probably should report this,
right.
But
see something,
I'm not going to do any like extra for this.
Right.
So don't expect me to do.
Yeah, don't expect me to wear a wire and go like pick this guy up.
Look for people. Right. I'm like, I don't think this guy's
help.
Crazy.
I hope he gets help because I feel like either he, like, obviously you're my friend. So I'm like, I'm happy you're here and you're safe. You know, obviously that's like the most important.
Right.
And along with that November thing, that's scary. But like along with that, right, obviously. But like for this guy. Seems like either he was on something or else he needs to be on something.
He didn't.
So
he probably needs to be.
Right?
I didn't get the sense. I have a good sense of someone's on drugs.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like it. And I would, yeah.
It's insane how many like rabbit holes people can go down once they're on the internet. Like, I remember I was watching something on like Chappelle, and they were like, yeah, the reason why Dave Chappelle like left Comedy Central was because Cosby and the Illuminati came into his house at midnight, and they like put him under sedation, and they were like, look, if you ever say anything else about us again, we'll kill you and your family. And I was like, people really believe this shit? And then people were commenting and like actually believing it. I'm like, this is the shit that like bugs me, because it's like, people aren't smart enough to realize when somebody's lying, or, you know what I mean, making some sort of fake ass propaganda type, you know,
or those mental, or they are on, or they're borderline mental health issues, right? And right. So they're susceptible to believing the things, dude, like, well, themselves, and well, then they're spreading it.
People I know who are very, like, I wouldn't say very, very intelligent, but I had this guy tell me, and he's a friend of the family. You remember when that guy stole the Alaska Airlines plane?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, oh, did you know that guy was making Q shapes? And I was like, shit. No, he wasn't. And, you know, like, because Q is QAnon is the, like, so-called, like, conservative, like, they know more. They're like another Illuminati type thing. So basically he was like, yeah, he was making Q shapes. And then he went and crashed on a pedophile island to, like, murder all the, like.
Island.
I was like, you really think there's a pedophile island out there? He's like, bro, I'm just telling you.
Dude, I saw Pinocchio. That's, yes. It's a, you know, that's just all island of kids.
Yeah.
I was the misfit kids.
Yeah. I was like, you really believe that there's just a pedophile island somewhere that they allow? I mean, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, that may be one thing. But, I mean, like, just a random, like, Seattle island out there? Like, fuck off. It's just annoying.
Like, and I'm not even like against conspiracy theories. Yeah. There's several that I do believe.
Yeah, there's a few. Know, I mean,
that I'm like, no, that's no, totally. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I've read about that in high school. I know it's true. We had books then, though. It wasn't the internet,
right?
So,
and everything in books. And everything that's in books
is true. So, yeah. So I'm not against conspiracy theories.
Right.
I even think we shot down the flight in Pennsylvania. On 9/11.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I mean, if you think it's going to crash into an important building.
No, I think they, because, you know, because the rescue attempt, because they tried to overtake them.
Right.
And that's what they've nailed it on. But there are apparently eyewitnesses of they thought planes.
Right.
And shooting. Nobody saw it actually hit. But I think they shot it down because they're like, no, it's fucking going to come crash somewhere.
Into the Pentagon. And right. That's like.
Yeah. And so, but that they were like, we can't. It'll destroy the airline industry if people think that a plane that we would shoot down our own mm-hmm. plane. I think everyone understood it that day.
Yeah.
But I think once they decided on the lie, they had to keep it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so, and it was also, it was cleaned up so fast. Mm-hmm. They never clean those up that fast.
Mm.
It was like gone in a day. Everything was gone. There's no evidence of the flight crash.
And
that's weird.
Yeah.
I think Franklin Roosevelt knew about the Pearl Harbor was going to.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did a report on it.
Well, I do remember that they did get reports that there was an invasion coming and somebody ignored it. So.
Yeah. And I think I remember reading about how he wanted in the war, but the tone of we were very isolationist still. And that America would not go along with it mm-hmm. in general unless we got attacked. And so he was like, he knew that one was coming and was like, hey, let's get most of our fleet out on training that day.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, because we were.
Wow.
We had a surprise training announced the night before and they left.
That's fucking crazy.
So like half the fleet was not at Pearl Harbor. That was supposed, like, it was a failure for the Japanese.
No shit.
The attack. Yeah.
Damn.
Because they didn't get nearly what they thought was supposed to be there.
Right.
And then so they were conveniently gone. A lot of people were called out. That were supposed to be off, like, or something, were called.
Dude, I'm sure that we'll find that there's so many more cover-ups.
Yeah, so I'm into conspiracy. But then when I hear Illuminati, I'm like, well, fuck that.
Yeah.
That's not.
Exactly. There's not a group that just controls, you know, everything. Like, you know how hard it would be to.
And you know there's probably people listening to this being like, they're so ignorant.
They're just like, yes, our cover is safe.
Oh, God.
I'm like, they think.
But I will say this. There is something about being vulnerable. I mean, the last time I really felt vulnerable was probably like at the age of 15, where I was still kind of, I was like 145, you know what I mean? And like, there were people, they were like 200 pounds, and I'm like, I can't fight this dude. I got to like either like sock him in the throat or kick him in the nuts, you know what I mean? And it's just like, there is something when you don't know what the fuck somebody's capable of, you know? It's like
15? That's the last time you felt vulnerable?
Yeah. Ever since then, I've kind of
bulked up. Do you not leave your house?
No, I mean, like, I just, I keep my distance from people, and it's like, you know, I know how to get a motherfucker off me. You know what I mean? And like keep them at a distance. I mean,
you're way too trusting of open micers.
No, yeah. That's another thing. That's one thing. I am always nice to open micers. Even if they're shitty, I don't pull a Dylan Avila. I'm not going to go up and tell somebody like, hey, man, you should probably just quit comedy. Everybody's like, everybody always asks me, they're like, why are you so nice to open micers? I'm like, because we don't need a Joker incident. You know what I mean? And it's like, you really like, they are the probably the most unstable like breed of character. That's why, like, even with, I won't say his name, but the guy who commented on the, you know, Uncanny Fest.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem stable to me. He seems like he might be able to do something.
Can you write it down on a piece of paper?
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you
later.
That's
on me later.
But it's just, you know, you don't know what people are capable of. Anybody could walk in and shoot up a place. That's, you know, guns are easily accessible. Yeah. And
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, that vulnerability, though, I mean, given that was a different situation, but, like, that sort of fear of people, that's such a, like, I definitely, like, I usually look for how do I get out of wherever I am, and those sorts of things, and how far is
there was
some
part
guy
of me that was
like,
"Is this what it's?" I was so scared. Is this what it's like just to be a woman every day?
That's
like,
exactly.
You never
what I was
know
thinking,
who's
gonna
friggin' attack you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not every woman feels like that. Obviously, I can't speak for everybody, but
But you're a lot taller than I'd say like the average like girl, right? I mean,
oh yeah, no. Like I'm not like a terrified person. Yeah. It's just like there are all of these other layers of protection I'm always thinking of.
Yeah,
totally.
And like even still like, you know, probably certain things like getting maintenance done in your house.
Yeah.
Like
that's
I'm
a good
like
point.
Make sure somebody's always home. You don't let them in the house without you being there.
Yeah. Jesus.
Like even never, before like the keys to like when you drop your car off, I guess now places they make sure that you, you know, you don't leave your whole keychain. You just leave the key. But it's like, I'm going to leave just my key. I'm going to make sure my address is not, well, kind of sucks. You have to tell them your address sometimes. But it's like, I'm only going to leave my car key.
Just so if they copy
try not
it.
To put any like personal information.
Right.
Like there's just all these extra steps you're constantly taking.
You know, I think about that too. It's like, we never think about like, we have to cover up our drink or take our drink with us. So, you know, we don't think we run the fear of somebody roofing us.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, there's so many added layers being a woman that you really have to worry about. Like, you know, you're drinking at a party. You can't let yourself go too much or else you run into that that
extra
shitty
extra weight. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's terrible.
Who was that shitty that Brock, what's his name?
Lesnar?
No, not Brock Lesnar.
Oh,
the one at the Stanford party that like, you know what I mean? And it's just insane to me that a woman should even have to worry about that. But it's just like, I mean, on top of that, not even trying to be funny, what is it like to be a little person out in the world? You know what I mean? Like, what would it be to be like 2 or 3 foot?
Is there a constant harassment of little
people?
Well,
just think about this. Like, first off, people already think you're...
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. But think about this. People already think you're kind of a joke or a party favorite.
I would think that being around like frat boy bros drunk would probably be an uncomfortable thing.
Totally.
For them. You know.
Well, I think that's uncomfortable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't even like being black, being around a bunch of drunk frat boys. You know what I mean? So it's like, I remember like going to getting dragged at the Yellow Beak in Enumclaw and like just even peeing and like cowboys looking at me and being like, you're all right with me, brother. I'm like, just pissing, man.
Like, you know, how many people, like, I got to think that with Game of Thrones on, how many little people got annoyed at being called Tyrion, right?
Except for Tyrion, I mean, Peter Dinklage is pretty
But you know, but I could see all these frat guys like,
think about it, even like when Jackass was big and like Wee Man was a thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but think about people being like,
Wee
"Hey,
man,
can we toss you or can we like pick you up or you know what I mean?" It's just like, just being vulnerable. Period sucks. Yeah,
I was just gonna interject on a change of subject.
No,
I may. I started rewatching Game of Thrones because I was sick for like 2 weeks.
Right.
So you guys have both, you've seen it, right?
No, but you can spoil it for me.
Well, all I want to say is, oh man.
Go for it. Yeah.
This is such
it.
A tangent. Yeah. Like the ending. So many people were really upset about the ending. Mm-hmm. I was not one of those people.
Right.
I didn't expect to be super happy, like Disney ending or anything like that. But now that I'm rewatching the beginning, the beginning, I'm like, oh yeah, of course it ended that way. That's how I feel. And it's so cool to see, you know how they say like, oh, hindsight is 20/20, but like watching it again and seeing how all these, I'm like, oh yeah, no,
okay.
It was.
There is the second journey that I don't do enough of anymore. Of once a series is finished, of going back and watching it again and seeing how it got there. and going, oh.
I can only do that okay. for stuff that I really like. Yeah. You know? And plus, I was, oh my God, I was in that house for, well, the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the mansion. I was in my giant castle home. No, in my apartment. For like, I was there for like, seriously, days on end by like just bored.
Yeah.
Just thank goodness for television.
It's so, I mean, it's nice to get kind of lost in something and just kind of mindless watch it. Like, I've been on like a Twilight Zone kick lately, like the old Twilight. You know what I mean? Oh, like,
I love it, but I just hate the... I can't stand the way it's presented now on Netflix. It's got, because they've high defed it.
Oh, okay.
Right? So everything looks to me like it's shot on shitty video.
Oh, really?
Like, because it's not meant to be on a high def TV.
Right.
And so it just looks weird. I think it looks like video now.
It's interesting. I'm watching it more for like just the story and like.
Well, yeah, but I can't help but look at it.
Yeah.
Like, I've turned it on actually just to listen.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, which one's this? Oh, yeah. But I hate watching it because I think it looks fake. It looks like a live soap opera.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Try going back and watching Alfred Hitchcock. Some of that has the shittiest acting. Just like,
oh yeah, acting was so different then.
But you know, some of the Twilight Zones are like great. Well, they have great actors in them, and I'm like,
some
surprised.
Are so good at acting. It's such a boring episode. they're like, oh, this guy's really good. This is a real character driven piece. Yeah. Oh man, where's the aliens? Mm-hmm. I want some aliens or something. I can't handle that.
Yeah.
Ah, but yeah. That's a story, good, everybody.
Though. Yeah. Did you feel like you talked enough about the story though? Because I feel like there's like we could deep dive
well,
into
the only thing. I mean, the story's there, but it is interesting the aftermath of it. Like feeling, besides the tear, the next day felt numb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't feel much emotion.
Right.
At all. And it was, you know, and I had my daughter read what I wrote so that she knew what happened for the most part. Because I wanted her to know where I was at because I knew I was acting odd.
Yeah.
I wasn't like lashing out, you know, anymore.
Well, you
than
had
normal,
like a
but I was
traumatic
like,
experience.
Yeah. And I've had that. Like... The only other time I had felt like that was when I left an attorney with my ex-wife. It was a bankruptcy attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said something. Like, as we were, because we were in the middle of breaking up, right? And he had said, you know, if you guys divorce, you're going to be paupers. You know, if you manage to find a way to stay together, you know, you can get through this, like, super poor.
I was thinking pill pauper because you're so depressed.
Right. And I said something like, you know, he's right. You know, we're on 405 coming from Renton.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, he's really right. And she's like, we are not getting back together. And I proceeded to let loose on her everything I had been wanting to say for the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I just yelled at her. And she's like, I'm not even listening. And I said, I don't give a shit. You're finally, you have to listen. Finally, you're here to listen. And I let it for like 30 minutes. I yelled at her.
Wow.
In the car.
Yeah.
Every mad thing I was mad about.
Yeah.
And we got there. And the next day, I couldn't feel a thing.
Nice.
And my therapist, who was seeing therapist at this point, told me, and she's like, it's actually pretty normal. Like when you have a huge emotional explosion, you feel you're worn out and your body, you kind of need to reset.
Totally.
Your mind does. And that's how I felt the next day. Cause I'm like, I had been broken down so many times the night before.
Yeah.
Because I did literally, I thought I was going to get murdered.
Right.
I really thought that this could be the moment. I was so scared.
How did Gretchen take it?
Fine. She's you know, she's a medical assistant. She's really good at being like focused on like, well, when there's a thing, okay, I got to deal with this, and being the calm presence when stuff is happening. So she was great, and she understood why I was upset.
Yeah.
And each day after, I still don't feel like right.
Yeah.
I still feel a little like, I actually really want to go drive for Lyft this week because because I'm like, I've had such a good experience. I don't want that to be a fear now.
Right.
Of like what's behind me or what's going to.
It's the equivalent of that bad set, right? You're like,
all right, oh, I got to get another set.
Well, you're just like, you're reclaiming your power back.
Yeah.
So
like, I think that part of it is I feel like, lack of power, I think, right now. And I'm feeling, you know, I'm very sensitive to the idea of all my, like, of death, like a friend's dying, or like, what if I'm not there? Like, what am I?
Yeah.
So like today, I'm like trying not to justify. I'm like, I only got a week left of Whole 30, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, today I was like, why the hell am I eating salad? I could get killed this weekend. And I'll be like, oh, good. Yeah, but at least he died not eating cheese.
Oh, my God.
Look at the comedian. Right? And then the I'm like,
yeah, exactly. I'm not even comedian. No, I'm I know, but I'm saying this.
But I'm saying, like, you have that, you are a comedian. So you're saying you're still having material come out. Like, maybe. Even though it's not on purpose.
No, but it was, that wasn't even material. I'm fucking serious.
I know, and I'm pointing out. I'm pointing out this is great material when you're ready to make material.
But it's, I was, you know, I'm thinking of that, and I'm like, I don't want to waste time on things like I don't want to watch or don't want to do. Like, I want to.
Yeah.
What do I want to do?
Do you feel
I don't know?
Do we need to start doing the Silas bucket list?
Huh?
Like, we need to start taping episodes of Silas's bucket list.
I don't know.
We could.
I don't have that much. I don't have enough money. to my bucket. No, I just like, it's making me think more and more, like even stuff that we've talked about off air.
Yeah.
You know, like, of what do I want to be working on? Right. Do I want to, you know, my show at Woody's, the bar in Shoreline has moved now to monthly. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad. Part of it, I don't want to fucking spend every Wednesday in a dive bar. I don't want it.
Exactly.
I don't want to. A lot of shitty things I don't want to go do just because I need to.
Dude, people used to ask me, like, to do the fucking open mic. They're like, don't you enjoy doing open mics? And, like, once it all ended, they're like, hey, come do this open mic every week. And I'm like, fuck no. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my weeks doing shitty open mics anymore.
No. I don't. Yeah. And I'm even like, you know, I've been examining, with comedy and how much, what do I want to do with it?
Yeah, and you haven't had very diverse lineups at all, so.
Yeah. I got to really try to help out people with the diversity. What do I want to be doing? Because, you know, I feel this mortal coil now.
Movies.
But at the same time, like, now the thing about
food. Yeah, we're all on board.
Yep.
The thing about food, though, is like, I did practically think, well, Silas, the reason you're doing the Whole 30 is so you can live longer, right? So it is getting this back in shape. So don't stop doing this because you might die tomorrow, or I will die tomorrow of a cardiac arrest, right?
Exactly.
So stay with
it. Have a Bernie Sanders moment. Well,
oh,
jeez.
I think it's good you're taking time to process what happened. And that it is something that, like, you had a life changing experience, you know, and thank goodness you're good, you know, and you're safe. But I think that this is something that it's altered your perception. It's altered that feeling of just safety.
I'm freaked out every time I'm
talking.
Right now, I've noticed I'm tense every time I'm talking to you.
Yeah,
because my back's at the door.
That's why I won't do a three-way, because it's like, I don't want nobody behind me. I don't trust anybody. Everybody in the room needs to be in front of me.
You just need to direct it better.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, there you go.
I've already had this issue. When I go into restaurants, I never have my back to the door, but I'm always fine in here.
Bro, that's like, the thing that's crazy.
But now I'm tense because I'm like, what's behind me? What's behind me? And I think it's because I'm at this, like, heightened state right now.
That's the hardest thing for me, like, with the whole lift thing. It's like, I've never felt safe not knowing who's behind me. Like, you know, like, not saying that anything's going to happen.
Don't ever be this asshole.
Yeah.
If you get in a car by yourself, you're the only person. Do not sit behind the driver.
Yeah, I always sit
on
the opposite
side. People do
this.
And, like, I almost told someone to move over.
Mm-hmm.
She's this blonde. She was going to the airport. It was a long ride. She's the one who, like, she brought her. I always open up the trunk. And it's often I even lift it in for them because I don't want their dumbass to scratch my car up.
Right.
Oh, that's a good
point. Usually they start grabbing it, and there's one girl I picked up. She brings it back and just walks to the back of the car like I'm supposed to get it in. I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like, all right. And then she sat behind me, and I wasn't worried about her. Like, it was like Becky.
But still.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a very Becky moment. And so. And then she didn't talk to me. I drove her from Lake Forest Park to the airport.
Right.
Which is nice. That was a nice fare.
Yeah.
But then when I got out, I just opened the door and, like, no, you can
get your own
get
shit.
Your own,
yeah.
Like, thank you. I'm like, no, I don't think you'll tip anyway. So you're going to.
Ugh.
Oh, and actually, sometimes I don't mind at the airport taking the bags out because I actually do get tips from them. So right. I was like, I'll fucking for $1? Yeah. Yeah. $5?
Do people not really usually tip?
Fun fact, apparently only 17% of passengers tip their driver.
No.
Wait,
shit.
Only 17%?
Yes.
Motherfucker, I'm always doing like 25%.
No. That's not how much they do.
No, but I mean like
of drive, like you're one of 17% that tip at all.
That's crazy.
On Lyft, which makes it super easy. They have a super easy way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, when I drive, about 50% of the people tip me.
Yeah.
So.
But that's only 17% of the people.
Like, but I wonder, is that done it means nationwide, or what's the percentage for Seattle area?
That's their nationwide average stat.
Because it seems like Seattle area is a little bit more.
I would hope so. But I mean, you know, I talked to some people and they're like, other drivers are in our forums that we talk to. And the guy's like, you know, I rarely ever get tipped, like talking about, and I'm like,
so can you see if we
it's
tip?
You? Yes.
Okay.
I can see now later, but
you can't like rate me before I tip.
The way they do a ratings now, it's kind of a pain for me to go in and rate you anyway. So it doesn't matter. But,
right.
I did actually rate. Some guy said, I'm going to give you $5 if I went and did this thing for him. Like, okay. And then I'm watching all day because he was like, I'm going to do it as soon as I get inside.
Yeah.
5 hours later, it's still not there. And I was like, screw you. And then I gave him a low rating. And then 10 minutes later, tip came in. And I was like, did he get a note? Oh, I'm like, then I went back in and changed it. Like, all right. I was like, I wasn't going to rate him low, but I was like, you lied to me.
Don't lie
to me about it.
Oh my God.
But I think it is the person, the driver. They present how you present yourself. You make a good, you have a good ride with them, whatever that is. Especially if they're talkers, it's much easier for me to get a tip from them. Like if they chat with me.
Yeah. I'm usually kind of a chatty person in the car just to like to make people kind of feel easy. But then there's some of those drivers who really don't want to talk. And I'm like, okay with that if they don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I've ridden with some. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It was just, when we started, all they would hire were fun people to drive.
I remember there was this guy that you had gotten like on like Lyft or Uber, and then they took his like license away or some shit like that. And I was like, they let him drive?
Oh.
Yeah. That shit was crazy. I was just like, damn. But I will say this, where you have the crazy passenger, I seem to always have the crazy driver. Like I had a lady who was telling me like that she's like, I'm gonna get my kids back this week, you know, because I just, you know, I was on meth, but now, you know, shit is getting, I swear, I was like, whoa, it's like, shit's getting better, so I'm good. I was like, all right, just like random shit all the time like that. Like this guy was telling me how like on New Year's, he was like, yeah, you know, this chick threw up in my car at like midnight, but I didn't want to miss out on any money. So I went and cleaned it. Then I went back out. Next person accidentally shitted in my car.
What the heck?
I was like, oh my God.
No, people have.
Yeah.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's one reason I don't do the late night. I'd rather drive 8 hours to make the same money I would make in 3 than have to deal with that
all
stuff.
All that shit, yeah.
Literally.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Insane.
No, it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But now, like, it's now like everyone has a chance to experience what taxis have been going through, right? Except our cars don't have plastic seats.
The plastic thing.
Or the window in the back.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that clip of that that taxi cab driver who was getting robbed at gunpoint in New York? And, like, the gunman sitting in the back of the car, he's like, yo, man, I'll fucking blow your head off. Give me the fucking money. I'm not playing with you. He's like, everything will be all right. Just fucking cooperate. He's got the gun through. And then all of a sudden, like, you see right behind the car, there's a cop. And the fucking lights come on and they fucking pull him out of the car.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
That's like, what I needed.
That's what you needed. So here's what I did. I actually got into kind of a road rage dispute. This guy had like, you know, I was going through it. My cat was getting put down the next day and shit. And so like I had accidentally like merged over and I guess I cut him off. But then he like fucking stuck his hand out the window like he was going to like shoot me and shit. And
was
I just
he black?
Kept, yeah, he was a black guy. Oh, right. Okay. And I kept looking at him. I was like, and part of me was like, this is stupid. But I was like, yeah, motherfucker. I was like, what? You know what I mean? And then I held my phone up and like pretended like I started recording him. And then he rolled up his window like a bitch and didn't want to be seen. You know what I mean? And so basically I was like, well, this dude's like following me everywhere. So I just fucking floored it. I'm doing like fucking like 80 down like I-5 because I figure if they pull me over, they're going to see this guy following me too.
Yeah.
And then so that if I get caught, he'll be caught with me. And then, you know, like, I could be like, mm-hmm. yo, this dude was following me and, like, was flashing, you know, his gun shit. And I got it on, you know.
Wait, it was actually his gun? It wasn't just his hand?
It was his hand. He didn't have, I don't know if he really had a gun and shit.
But still, that's creepy.
But still, you know what I mean? I was dude's making threats. And, you know, so I was just like, fucking, it's on now. I mean, even if I get a ticket, it's better to be safe.
Than- Peter yeah. Knox? Who was that?
Probably pissing off the whole family. So, it was nuts, though, man. But, you know, it's just there's too many Looney Tunes in this world to, like, I'm with you, though. I'm not going to risk it. It's just, like, I'm fucking getting out of the situation. I know how to, like, my mom always told me when I was a kid, she was like, don't you ever run towards the middle of a fight? Because that's how motherfuckers get shot. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So you just brought back a memory.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to make it interesting. it was when I was living down in L.A.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was doing a promo modeling gig
okay.
for, like, we were going
what?
Up. Yeah.
I want to see these pictures.
I know.
Did you see the model picture of her?
No.
She posted the model page. I was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? That's me with a different
promo
hair.
Promo or porno?
And, huh? Oh,
promo?
God, no.
Promo.
I'm just making it
yeah, yeah. No,
she changed hair. It didn't even look like her.
It did look like me.
No.
Just cover my hair up with your face.
I've heard a few things then, about you where it's like, Silas said you are
chameleon.
The most, you're the one of the best actresses he's ever seen. You turn it on and off like that. And you'd like, I guess there was some like kind of hood roll and you just like flipped it on and he was like, holy shit. She pulled
no,
it
I
off.
Was literally when she gave me the script, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so bad. Cause she's way too articulate, mm-hmm. way too like, it's not going to. And then she did. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
dude.
And then she was like, I have a master's and I'm like, fuck, I forgot. I was like,
we underestimate each other a lot.
I've done some readings with some comics, like
yeah.
to help them with auditions, and it's all, you know.
They're always kind of garbage.
I mean, it's, you know, like they're yeah. new in acting. And so for like in my head, that was just, I'd forgotten that you'd gone to school and mm-hmm. trained. And
thank you. I will take it. But yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, but okay. I promise I'll tell the rest of the story.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I got a little bit distracted by, so I've talked to you a little bit about this. I don't know.
I think
it was probably when you were not on, you mm-hmm. know, because I get to fill in for you. So thank
yeah,
you
yeah.
for being so popular and let me fill in for you, Manny.
Try it.
But yeah, about like doing more like acting coaching and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got together, like just offered a class to comics to like do some acting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of comics don't have very much money. So it's like pay what you can. You think
right.
people be interested? Or I mean, I could just make it to whoever, but I'm still playing around with what the format is I'm going to do or who I'm going to offer it to
it
in terms
feels
of the actual
like
class.
In the past. There's, I mean, it might be different now because there's definitely people that are taking newer comics that are doing more than one thing now.
Mm-hmm.
They're really like up for sketch. When I got here, it didn't seem like anybody would do anything that was like, if it meant them missing an open mic, they won't.
Yeah,
do
it. It really
well,
felt.
I'd probably want to do it on like an afternoon.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you know, Sunday afternoon, not 3 p.m.
Or a lot of people, I don't know, I still don't understand this attitude where they think, they're like, no, I just want to be a stand up comic. They're not interested in that acting stuff mm-hmm. at all. They're like, no. Like, well, you know, everyone like does that,
yeah.
like tries to do it.
It's interesting. I was actually just watching Rogan today and he was talking about there are just some comics who just want to be comics. And to me, that's such an interesting thing because it's like, I mean, no, I don't want to be the 60-year-old dude. I don't want to be like, no offense, Mike Wally Walter. Like, that's a hard life to be in a bar and doing, you know, gigs, making, trying to make money that way. I mean, I would rather have the syndication if possible and be able to reap the benefits. I just heard something about, you remember the kid? Oh God, he was like the famous black actor. He was on the Jackson 5 story, or do you remember that?
Oh.
And he also played, he was in so many different things. He was on, do you remember the show Smart Guy?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Yeah. So,
what did he do?
Anyways, this actor, he did the voice of young Simba in The Lion King,
yeah.
right? And so Disney had offered him $2 million to do this, and this is 95, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, and his mom's like, oh, you know, hey, $2 million, or you know, somebody had said something about, his agent was like, yeah, just take the $2 million, and they had remembered something. They were like, you know,
no,
what,
just residuals.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, you know what, we're gonna hold off and we'll just take the like $50,000 or the $5,000 check, and we'll get the residuals. And now he's recouped well over like $9-10 million just like on the royalties. Amazing. So it's just like,
well, but not even like, I mean, those are somewhat lotto tickets that
yeah,
you get,
totally.
But I think just the diversity of ability to do other things.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Like,
well, I think too, though, it also what's fun for you though. You know right. what I mean? Cause like,
that's true.
I think, you know, we've all talked about, we like, mm-hmm. like you love comedy, you love acting, you love podcasting,
totally.
Like writing, all mm-hmm. those different things. Some people is, like
they're two very different feelings though, right? I feel like comedy is very instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
It's where film is like, okay, we just shot this movie, it was dope, but now we gotta wait months to see the reaction on it. You know what I mean?
It's funny because I think it's the process of doing everything that mm-hmm. I love the most. I mean, and of course it's great when you get the paycheck and then you have that to pay stuff with.
Right.
But the process of doing the stuff is just mm-hmm. it's so fun that sometimes when the film comes around,
yeah,
like I am gonna go see it, but you know, it's just so embarrassing to watch yourself in front of other people.
Right. Well,
but it's just such a good time on set and
like,
prepping for it.
What's it like to be a director versus like a comic or even an actor when you see yourself in the like in an Amazon commercial?
That is surreal.
Yeah,
because I was like, I don't even remember it like this.
Right.
You know, like of the 20 takes we did, mm-hmm. which one did they?
How do they piece
take
it together?
The second. Yeah,
and
what,
it turned out great.
Second today,
you really seem like the creepy cat guy.
Yeah, but I was at an audition yesterday, mm-hmm. and the woman I was sitting next to a woman that we ended up doing the scene together, and she was like, I mentioned doing stand up. She's like, that's amazing. So I'm like, well, you know, I mean, it's kind of like theater. I mean, she's like, oh yeah, I couldn't do that either. I was like, what? And like, she was an actor, but she's like, only film. No, she's like. The whole immediate, like, she's like, you know, I'm on a set. You can do it 50 times.
Yeah.
And then they mm-hmm. get it. Live theater, it's as soon as you say it, it's there. It's done. It's gone. Yeah. And you got to just, and it keeps moving. It's
too, true.
This one shot every night. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, what you just said is why it's awesome. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I love. You don't have mm-hmm. to, you don't necessarily have to be perfect.
I will say this, though, in the 8 years that I've known you, like, this happens like every year. Like you'll have like a lot of good sets throughout the year, but every like now and then you'll message me and Jack and you'll be like, dude, I just had this set. It was just magical. And they were with me word for word.
Yeah.
And that's one of those like, and we all have it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Where it's like, damn, like if I could just get to that, we'd all be fucking famous right now. You know what I mean? And like, but there's something so magical about
that set though. On the other end.
Oh yeah, where it's just like
oh my god, the last one, this Lumberjacks that I did a few months ago.
Mm.
Holy shit, I never dug such a crater. It was so horrible. Like I'm still have PTSD from that.
There are some that you really
it
have.
Was so bad. And I followed this a comic, Erin Crouch from Tacoma. She moved to Germany now. But she'd gone up there and broke the crowd because they were a tough crowd. Mm-hmm. And then she got up there and she was funny, like getting them. And she's talking about being a mom.
Yeah.
And like, this is a crowd. She weren't a mom. I'm going to go. I'm going to fucking crush this. And I went up there and nothing.
Oh,
for 5-7 minutes, whatever.
Not even one.
It was actually there were a couple
chuckles
from the
couple
guys in back. Like, oh, I liked it. You know. I was like, yeah, not everybody else. Well, it's like, holy shit, did I misread this room of what I was? I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah.
This stank. That's what makes me go like, of course, that's what I remember more. But I was like, when did I have a good set? I don't remember.
Oh, okay. What about you? Have you had one of those horrific sets yet?
Oh, I did. I mean, you know, it hurt so bad.
She wouldn't come podcast with me because she had to go out again.
Oh, that's true.
Because she was
but
so
to
like,
be fair,
she was like, it's so bad.
We hadn't planned the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Normally I'm like, yes, I'll be there because I love doing this podcast with you guys. But that one,
I was
crushed. I was crushed. Oh boy, was I dramatic. Mm. I was all sullen afterwards. I I just laid in bed. Oh, I got to give this up. I'm so terrible. How could I face anybody again? It was horrible.
That's what we got.
It just, I was devastated.
Need to do a horror movie, a horror movie for comics.
Yeah.
Where it's just about like dying on stage.
Yeah.
Right.
With nobody.
What that feels.
It was, I think I was just so mad at myself. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in fairness, I guess, because. Deconstructing the sort of sometimes mm-hmm. you bomb, okay, whatever. It had been a minute since I'd done a 20-minute set.
Yeah.
And it was a 20-minute set that was really late at night.
Yeah.
In a crowd where it wasn't my typical audience.
Right, right, right.
And so it's like I could tell at the beginning, I'm like, okay, they're not into this stuff. Like,
right.
Let me try to like switch it up. But, oh yeah, it just, I got some laughs, but
I
felt devastated.
You seen Joker
oh,
yet?
Have I ever?
You saw Joker?
Yes.
Okay, so the most accurate scene.
Spoiler alert.
Little most accurate scene is when he's performing at the open mic.
Yes.
And he has his delusion of how awesome it ended up going.
Right.
Right. And then later you see it. I was like, there are so many comics that are watching that scene and don't realize that's them.
Yeah.
Right.
Holy shit.
Okay, why do I not? I do not remember him thinking it went awesome.
So,
am I remembering it? I'm remembering when it did not go awesome.
It starts off rough, uh-huh. and then he starts relaxing uh-huh. into it, and you see his girlfriend laughing. You see the other people laughing.
Right.
And you see this chunk. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a big spoiler.
Hold on. Yeah.
Wait, can I say it? Or
No.
We'll talk about it off here. Yeah. But yeah. But yeah, totally. It's
about his girlfriend.
Yeah. And I think that there is so many comics that I've seen like that. I remember there was this girl and she literally was like, she got off stage and she like looked at, because somebody was recording her and she looked at the camera. She was like, what? Like she did great. And I was like, I didn't even hear any fucking laughs. Like it was like, calm down. But even like a few like kind of bigger names now that I know I've talked to them and they're like, yeah, so-and-so like literally thought he crushed and, you know, he has no self-awareness to know.
You mean Chappelle?
Yeah.
You're talking about Chappelle.
Totally. Aye, aye, aye.
But I will say this, the worst show that I ever did was the one after the Amanda Knox thing. But first off, like that show was an all-black show. They just wanted to see the headliner. The show was supposed to start at This is Sunday.
Oh,
this is Sunday, and yeah. it there was no Monday holiday, so it was a Sunday show. Show was supposed to start at 9 p.m. Second show was supposed to start at 9 p.m. Didn't start till 11.
Shut the f up.
And I told the booker, I was like, I don't even have to go up if it's cool with you. He's like, no, you need to do your time because I'm paying you. I was like, all
really?
Right. Yeah. And so I go up, and literally.
People hate.
How much time?
People hate giving you money for free, right?
At first, I was supposed to do like 15. Uh-huh. But then I was like, fuck this. I'm only doing 7. And I just had to tell the story again. You know what I mean? What just happened to me.
Yeah.
So I told it. That got chuckles. But then the rest of it was just eating shit where like nobody laughed. And like one person gets off stage. Like when I get off stage, she's like, man, are you bombed? I was like, still. and I literally was like, still got your money though. Oh my God.
Hey, do you hear that sound?
Mm-hmm.
That means nerd news.
Oh.
Hey, couple of things in nerd news I wanted to talk about. Zoe Kravitz is a pick to play Catwoman.
Yeah.
No shit.
I saw that. She's saw cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
God.
Do you know, I didn't realize until the history of mm-hmm. for before, like, you know, a bunch of supremacists get all mad about a black Catwoman. Historically, even the first Catwoman on TV
was black. Was that
Eartha
Kitt? Yeah.
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 Okay.
Did you know about the history, like the story of Eartha Kitt?
Uh-uh.
No.
Well, I heard. I'm always like, I heard, because I can't remember my source.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but it's like a video I saw about her mm-hmm. that growing up, she did not have a happy childhood, and they made her sleep underneath the house with all of the cats.
Under the house?
They hated her.
Wow.
Yeah, with all the cats.
See, like, it was her real parents and everything?
See, I don't.
Was it a Harry Potter thing?
I mean,
no,
they
it's
did,
like,
they,
I should look it up and then I, yeah. I can maybe tell you.
You know, they did that shit to Oprah too. Like, they made Oprah sleep outside, like when she was staying and somewhere, and her sister got to sleep inside. It was just fucking weird. And like, she
that's why she needs a house with like 12 rooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can sleep wherever I want now.
Exactly. Fuck you, Stedman. I'm going to go sleep in room number 7. Don't come near it. You know, it's just, but it's, that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, they were, you know, I don't know. It's, I will say this though, like, I'm all for like changing up shit, but like, just, I don't know about a black Superman. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like,
no, I, yeah.
What's
I mean,
wrong with a black Superman?
I don't know. I'm just like, I grew up with.
Are they
going to
have a
Reeves.
White blade then?
Well, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Right. I mean, let's just mix it all up.
Mix it all up.
But you can be an have albino. A... Okay, my issue is then you got to move it then because you can't have it in Kansas.
Yeah.
Right? Because then like.
What is it like?
Yeah, that's your kid.
Atlanta?
What? Oh. But he could be.
Oh, the black
there's
super.
Black people out there. Like, I visited Kansas once. I had a yeah. really delicious burger.
I mean,
Smallville.
Here's what I will
he's
say.
He's going to land with the one set of black parents yeah. there, and they're going to go, no, he's our kid.
Here's totally. What I will say. I think that if DC does it right, they don't have to do it the way Marvel's been doing it, right? Where you have one story that leads into another story and so on and so forth. I think DC can just tell good independent stories, right? And so it's like, maybe just tell the one-off story. They actually have a Superman that was Superman Red Sun, where I think the rotation of the Earth was a little different, and he doesn't land in Kansas. He lands in the Soviet
Union. Yeah.
And so you can mm-hmm. tell that story about how he becomes this asset.
Oh, I think that would be great if they did all those stories. They don't need the,
that's what I'm saying.
They don't even need a trilogy.
That's
right?
what I'm saying, yeah. You just... Basically, you tell these one-offs like Flashpoint.
Or like Joker.
Right.
Like, just like, hey, let's do a cool film. People mm-hmm. will watch it, but they want to yeah. build a whole franchise universe. And make it so they'll make tons of money
right.
on it. And
but I think it might be cooler if you just tell these one-off stories. And, I mean, you can still have these. You could have little universes within themselves, but maybe.
As long as they quit telling the origin stories, yeah. then I'm fine.
Just get into it. Yeah, we all
unless
know.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Unless it's weird, like Soviet Union, but I don't.
Yeah.
Don't want to fucking.
Did you see the Grouch origin story?
Oh, my
that
God.
That was fucking amazing.
If you haven't seen that, SNL's short a couple weeks ago did the Grouch.
You can see it on YouTube.
It's a parody of the Joker. Joker. Of Joker. It's a brilliant little short.
It's so good.
Quick question for you. Yeah. Out of two thumbs up, what did everybody give the Joker?
Out of two thumbs up?
Yeah.
That's
two thumbs up, two thumbs down.
Do you know it's because there's two people on the show?
Well, yeah,
that's
I know.
Why it was
but I mean, you have two thumbs.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. Then I would give two thumbs up.
There you go.
4.5 apples.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, you could give one thumb up, one thumb down if you didn't like something.
No, well, it's just such a without spoilers. I don't know how many thumbs I'm gonna give this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say, like, as an artist and an actor,
yeah,
it was an amazing character study.
Yeah.
It was wonderfully acted. It was shot beautifully. Like mm-hmm. the writing was fantastic. I saw like all these.
Do you know
things
Joaquin's
tying in.
Bathtub scene was improv?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's creepy.
He was very difficult to look at, but I mean, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Acting in it, you know what? It was great. My sister did not care for the film. I can understand why
right.
people wouldn't mm-hmm. necessarily like it, depending on what they're expecting and what they're looking for.
Totally.
And if they're not looking at it for this, you know what I mean? Like for
right.
me, I'll watch a movie that maybe is going to be a little bit slower because I know it's like
right.
an acting master class
mm-hmm.
or it's like I'm absorbing so many like awesome things. But,
right.
It was a little bit slow at times,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay.
Yeah.
So I could see why people wouldn't love it.
I think
but
that some
for me,
people,
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Some people walked in thinking they were going to watch another Batman.
Exactly.
Well, but also,
film.
Like, the trailer
yeah.
made it
they didn't
seem.
Watch the trailer?
No, but the trailer made. Well, depending on what trailer you saw, it seemed like it was going to be paced a lot faster.
You know what?
I was not expecting what I got. However, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I thought it was.
Yeah.
You know?
I think. I don't tend to rewatch trailers that much anymore
because
mm-hmm. I don't want to. I
don't
love them too.
I don't like the spoilers. I hate spoilers.
Yeah,
but
so
I
don't
want to
remember
like
stuff.
But let me ask you this: if a new Star Wars trailer comes out, are you gonna watch it?
Oh yeah,
it?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, well, as soon as I get a sock, right? I think I knew what it was. Everything I hoped for when I saw the trailer,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, Is this going to be the story of how the Joker descends into madness?
Yeah.
This would be amazing. So I was actually expecting a slow piece. Mm. So I was all prepared for it. And yeah. So maybe my anticipation wasn't out of line with what we got from it. And I'm not sure how much is biased just from being sort of, you know, a pseudo filmmaker actor that I'm like, yeah, like that's the clue should have been there.
Also, how much did you wish that you got to play that? Like I would have been so like, obviously he's amazing, but like I would be so jazzed to have the opportunity to like play something like that's that meaty that you really get to work on like that. Like I wouldn't want to lose all that weight. But like
to do Lady M last year.
Oh, and it was I loved it. It was such a treat. Right. Like right now I've been reading I'm currently kind of not obsessed, but yeah, kind of like with Medea, the character. I would love to play Medea. Like, well, I know, right? How are you? No, but I mean, like the Euripides Medea, right? Yeah. And I've been like just reading and rewatching Hamlet over and over again. So I'm
totally. I mean,
want to do something with those?
All these dreams that we had of what we want to do. I mean, she gets to keep doing them, but then like tomorrow, I get a call back, and they're like, "Bring the straw," because my line is. Just slurping into a straw. That's what they're looking like. It's so much not about my acting.
You're right.
Well, no, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I totally hear. And that's why I'm like, I gotta make something. Cause I'm not going off on these gigs all of the time. Like, you know, to do longer.
Yeah.
Like theater pieces and stuff. So I'm like, I gotta make something. I gotta do my own character studies.
Totally. It's pretty amazing to think about that though. Right. I mean, you have Heath Ledger and then you also have Joaquin Phoenix, and both of them did like these deep dives into like madness in order to like, I mean, without giving away too much about,
you know,
Joker's,
what, though?
I don't think Heath's wasn't. He was already there.
Well,
I mean, already crazy.
So I will say this.
Go for it. Sorry.
No, yeah.
Like, I don't really like the word crazy.
Yeah.
Or madness. But that's me being. No, but that's also like a semantic thing. Yeah. Right. You know, so it's like not to tell you guys what to say.
No.
As opposed to what?
Well, because.
Mental health issue?
No. Well, I don't think okay, so if I'm playing the character, if I was playing the character, now I'm just like in this imaginary world where I'm like, Samantha, what's up with the white makeup?
Their point of view.
But it's just going to be like a water gun instead. But, oh boy. I wouldn't be able to think of the character as crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So you also can't
think of him as a bad person.
I could think he made bad choices, yeah.
But not in that character's point of view unless that's part of it.
If I was playing him, yeah. I wouldn't. If I was playing him, I wouldn't think of it as a bad choice.
Okay.
You're right.
Spoiler alert for anybody who's listening. Just fast forward like 15, 20 seconds. One of the best parts is when the little guy is in there with, you know, the other guy. And he's just like, he looks at him and he's like, "Oh, you were always nice to me. Yeah. You can go." And I was just like, fuck, man, that's such a well-acted piece. You know what I mean? Just like, because, you know, and he just had so many layers to him. I literally think Joaquin's Joker is the best Joker. Hands down. I think that, like you said, Heath Ledger was already in that.
Yeah.
You know,
and he was good.
He was good.
It was a totally different story.
Yeah, it wasn't, but there was no arc for him.
Well, they were, okay, so on YouTube also, I forget which, I'm always forgetting which one does it, but they're doing the comparisons between Heath Ledger's Joker and Joaquin's, and it was like, which one's better? And they did for the laugh, it's this, for this, it's that, costume, this, and I was watching it, and then I'm yelling at the TV as I'm watching it, and I'm like, it's not the same thing. He was becoming the Joker. Yeah. The other one's already the Joker. It's not the same script. Why are you comparing them? It's like, I could turn off my TV instead. I'm just getting angry.
You know what's interesting? Like, just watching movies now, I see it from almost like a directorial like standpoint, where, another spoiler alert, so fast forward another 20 seconds. I apologize. But let me just say this before you go. So, you know, when everybody surrounded him when he was in the very end, I would have had there be like, that's in his mind. But then really there's maybe only two people that are like.
Oh, God. Okay. Since we're doing even more spoilers right now.
Can
we not? I want people to listen to the show.
Okay. Fine. I got to tell you guys. Off of the air, my opinion about his girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
As I clench both of my fists, I'm sorry, I should not have done that.
I was still, this discussion today, actually, but this is in general, like, I'm wondering, do more people see films than ever before, but don't really see films? Like, they don't see what they're for.
They don't really analyze.
They don't understand, because, like, somebody said, like, oh, I the, someone has a theory. Like, I've heard this before about other films, right?
Did they say the Illuminati did it?
No, no.
I'm but sorry.
Other films where people will say, like, oh, I have a theory that there's a theory that it's all in that person's head. I'm like, well, yeah, it's called a fucking movie. Like, it's the point of view. Usually the main character, it's their point of view. It's not necessarily, it's not a factual, it's not an archive of what happened. It's from the point of view of that main character.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's not necessarily a, someone said, oh, there's a conspiracy theory about this in their head. Like, no, that's just the way dramatic works are written.
Right.
That's not, can it's I, not can, shocking.
Can I ask you guys this? How do you feel about what Martin Scorsese said?
I agree.
What? Wait. What did he? What did he say?
He said that movie. These He doesn't. The Marvel movies are not cinema. They're more like amusement parks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that.
That's fair.
I think that some of these movies can have depth.
Well,
they can.
Yeah, like what was it? Endgame or whatever that last one.
Yeah,
is. Does that one count?
Even
in
though
the
that
universe
felt like
you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, like,
because that definitely
Marvel.
It felt more cinematic.
Right, and I mean, you're dealing with a lot of character, you know, development. You're dealing with a lot of emotion
growth,
of
but
growth
for the most
loss.
Part they don't grow. I mean, their origin story,
I mean,
but
Tony kind of grew throughout this,
yeah,
whole thing.
They were dealing
the
with
whole
like
thing, but
yeah,
not as a movie.
They're dealing with like grief and like some,
but you know,
topics.
Here's the thing that I don't think Martin Scorsese's ever seen. He's never seen the culmination of 18 movies put together, you know what I mean?
Right, but like, he's not talking about that.
But, you know, he's just, he thinks that, like, even Bill Maher says that these superhero movies are ruining, you know, cinema. Which,
oh, I agree.
I mean, I'll say this though.
I like them, but that doesn't mean that they're good for America.
Yeah, but like we live in, here's what I will say. We live in such a dark time right now that people are very,
we need it.
We need it. We need, mm-hmm, a very uplifting kind of like film. And I think that, shit, I mean, I think there's so many different layers to cinema. I think, you know, comedy, I think that still could be good cinema. It just depends on how it's written. There's bad cinema, but
right.
I mean, there's
so
also,
he's just saying that this is shit. A lot of it's just not great cinema.
Right.
Like, it's, I've always said that there's a difference between a movie and a film.
Break it down for me.
Like,
go.
I think a movie is like Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's something you grab for popcorn.
Right.
It's a popcorn movie. That's what I call, where a cinema, like, cinema is a fine art. You know, I think you are invested in a character, and maybe you leave the film with maybe a better understanding of humanity. And
yeah.
I don't think I generally leave that from Ant-Man.
I mean, Ant-Man, you know, had his daughter and all this, you know, stuff of being a thief. And I mean, there's all these underlying things. Some of the movies are written well, but I will say this, even with Scorsese, it's like, how many gangster mob movies am I leaving being like, oh yeah, I learned more about humanity through like people getting their face shot off.
I know. Like, did you know that people, even men, are really bloody?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd say most Scorsese films that I leave, like, yeah, they're pretty profound.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also just he grew up in that neighborhood. So he knows that story. He knows those characters. Like, I don't relate to any of that, you know, it's like, so.
I also kind of wonder if part of the difference comes from how many of the, as somebody who doesn't, you know, like, I'm not a cinematographer, how many of the things that the medium is the best at doing.
Right.
Like, let's say films can do, like, let's say there's like 30 different things you can do in a film, like, mm-hmm, a gymnastics routine or something
right.
like that. There's 30 different items. And so maybe the things that are considered films, they use 30 different items, whereas maybe a Marvel movie uses 10 or
right.
something. I don't know. Because I think about that with, sometimes I, you know, go see theater, live theater, and some shows really use the theatrical medium,
mm-hmm,
all the
yeah.
different things that make theater theater that it does different than film. And some of them I'm like, this could just, I could be watching this on TV.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with either one. It's
right.
just which one
not,
feels more theatrical.
I'm not saying that there's one wrong. I thoroughly
right.
enjoy the Marvel movies. I think people are blowing it out of proportion of like they're taking it personal because they're saying, I think they're saying that he feels like they're saying that you like shit. No, but he's just saying is Barefoot in the Park or The Odd Couple mm-hmm. are light comedies that aren't meant for anything, like, other than it's a light comedy. You don't right. need to build the set the shape of a violin to get the meaning, to understand the barriers. No, The Odd Couple, let's shape the set like a vacuum cleaner, and right. every time mm-hmm. Oscar comes out, you like blow more dirt on there so you really understand how he's messing
okay,
up.
Okay, that actually sounds kind of cool. Well,
yeah. I will but say like, this though, I feel like, you know, and I'm still new to the, you know, film industry, all that, so I have no room to talk. But it's just hard for me when so many purists are telling you what is and what
you
isn't.
You still get an opinion.
Yeah, a little one. But I
you
mean,
you do it in comedy.
Here's the thing I will say. It's like, as much as, you know, yeah, you are right. I mean, I do. I mean, there's
everybody
open
does it in every field, like yeah. music. What's real rap?
Yeah.
Oh, they all have an opinion. Yeah. Well, yeah. When you were saying you're new, so you don't get to have much of an opinion. Okay. Mm-hmm. Story. I watched the new Jane Goodall documentary. Actually, okay. I don't know how new it is, but anyway, I watched it and yeah. it was so interesting. Did you know about, I mean, you know who she is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But did you know how she got started?
Gorillas.
Wait, what's
chimpanzees.
It? Chimpanzees. Yeah, yeah. That's what, yeah.
Well, wait. She started with the chimpanzees, but it's like primates and stuff that she's super yeah, known yeah. for.
Wait, didn't she do the gorillas?
No.
Is that what gorillas?
She might have also.
You that movie where that thing was talking. It was like, Amy.
But, you know, maybe also gorillas, but totally chimpanzees. Blank. She studied
chimpanzees. Yeah, she hung out with chimpanzees and lived
with
them. Who was
the gorillas in the mist one?
Maybe that was also her.
No, I don't think
I
so.
Don't
was
really
it someone
you're
else?
You're making up shit.
No.
You're living in an alternate
The movie
reality.
Gorillas in the Mist was based off a real person.
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh.
We'll Google
totally
it.
Mixing up. Okay.
Well, so what's so interesting is, so she had this dream, like her whole life she felt like she wanted to be out in Africa studying animals, and she knew that's what she was meant to do. She's from England and whatnot. Her family didn't actually have a lot of money, so she didn't get to go to college. She didn't know how she's going to do this, saved up her money from waitressing. At any rate, she winds up getting to go there when she's 26 mm-hmm. because they're looking for somebody who would have an open mind to be able to study.
Right.
Okay.
And because she didn't go to college, she didn't have those preconceived notions, because at the time they were teaching that only humans were capable of, you know, X, Y, and Z. So it's kind of like she just had her own opinions, her own open mind and whatnot to study. Yeah. And it actually turned out being, you know, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That. It was pretty cool.
You're thinking of Diane Fossey. Apparently she studied
that's
gorillas.
The gorilla.
Yeah. Jane Goodall Fossey. Studied chimps. But I will say this. You remember, God, that lady who had that chimpanzee in her apartment.
And it ate her face.
And it like ripped her face off and bit off her hands.
That's horrifying. Yo, like, it's like they can be super violent too.
That's what
too.
I'm saying. Like 200, like a chimp on average weighs 200 pounds and is like stronger than 10 men. Like that is a fucking dude. That ain't no motherfucking chimpanzee.
Can you get like a chimpanzee for an emotional support animal?
That's what I'm saying. That's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess Michael Jackson, bodyguard. Like towards the end, when people would go over his house, they would be like, is that Bubbles over there? He's like, yeah, don't go next to Bubbles. Yeah, he'd be locked up in a cage just going crazy.
This Bubbles yeah. like, motherfucker been touching me too, all right?
But literally, he was like, yeah, don't go too close to Bubbles. He's crazy. You know
what I mean? Sounds like an angry Bubbles.
I'm
right?
telling you, like a chimpanzee, yeah. like, I mean, literally, I guess she had gotten her hair done or something and like it didn't recognize her and like freaked the fuck out. Like, and you know,
man,
Bill Bellamy had a joke where he was like, yeah, he was probably at home watching Animal Planet, you know what I mean? Just wanted to be, you know what I mean? Missing his cousins and shit.
It's funny how, I mean, that's not funny how the animal did that, right. But see, like, I've seen like my dog looks at me so differently depending mm-hmm. on how my hair is done and if my glasses are on or off,
right.
Like, he's like Silas. He's like, who is this person? Your hair is totally different.
You know what's crazy?
I don't recognize you.
So my cats, like, I mean, rarely do we ever give them a bath, but like we gave them both baths, and one of them didn't recognize the other one for like a whole day and a half and was like hissing at the other one. And then like finally, like after she got her scent back, was just like, you know, like, oh, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, this bitch. And it was like, oh. So.
All right. Hey, we're about out of time.
Yeah.
We gotta wrap this up. Felicity Huffman's going to jail.
Well, didn't she just get out early?
Oh, what? She just, I got her, you just went to jail.
Yeah, but she's getting out of day early.
She's only going 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Tell us, people who don't watch the news, what's up.
Good behavior.
So for basically paying in order to get her daughter into school.
That one.
Yeah, not Lori Loughlin, but Felicity Huffman. I don't know why her husband didn't get in trouble. You know what I mean? Maybe because he's the better actor with the better credits and shit. So, but
it's pretty good.
Yeah, but anyways, she was supposed to do 14 days. Now she was only getting 13 because they said that the amount of time it took to come and lock her up. That's how good it is to be famous, rich, and white.
A guy died boxing.
Yeah. Oh, that's the second one this year.
Yeah. Like,
it's.
Nobody's. Why is anyone. I am honestly surprised more people don't die from it.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I heard that on the way driving up here, and I thought to myself, I probably should not be watching UFC anymore.
I love UFC, but it's just like, I mean, you forget how dangerous it is. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, both people are getting in the ring and it's like literally like somebody's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, not kill you, but they want to take you down and hurt you. Like, these people aren't in here to play nice. But, you know, there was one boxer who got in trouble because he had put plaster on his hands and then put the gloves over.
Should be murder.
Yeah. And literally ruined this guy's boxing career, broke his eye socket and everything else, and the guy had brain damage afterwards.
Oh, that's horrible.
So, I mean, it's just brutal.
Did he go to jail for that?
He did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's not, well, when I was rewatching Game of Thrones,
yeah,
and I'm watching them doing the jousting, you know, and all that, I'm like, wow, what is it, you know, when the sword finally went, I'm like, why? There's always been these sort of gladiator, you know, sort of people want to see it.
It's wild. I don't know.
And hey, let's end on a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
So someone thinks that this is going to be the next thing. Like, you know, Hollywood always is looking for how to de-age, right? So this is a real study that they found accidental.
Okay.
That they've some women have had their eggs taken out, you know, for like, because they want to have children later.
Yeah.
And they're going to go through cancer treatment. So they take them out.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And so then they bring them back later. They found some people that it's almost reversing aging because they put them back in and their body starts going through like the puberty.
Holy
again.
Shit.
Like it's bringing and making them, they're all youthful.
Yeah.
And so someone thinks that they're going to, like, think about this. If you were rich at 20,
yeah,
and you're worried about aging out, you have your eggs removed as an elective. Surgery,
wow,
frozen, the whole thing, and then have them put back in when you're 60.
Shit,
and start getting youthful again. Yeah.
Well, you heard that they actually found out how to clip like telomeres, you know, and those are the things that like apparently make you old.
Yeah.
And so they think they possibly have found the fountain of youth with like your telomeres and keeping them from aging.
Well, so. I think they've been doing that to some of these celebrities for a while.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, shit. Ugh.
I don't know. When you said that, all it made me think of, like a science experiment gone horribly wrong. Like it makes me think about an X-Men.
Yeah.
When they're trying to turn the non-mutants into mutants, and that guy just turns into the gelatinous puddle.
Oh, yeah.
That's Senator, what I was just imagining. They go back to looking like 20-year-olds, and then like in a week, they're just...
Oh, Senator Kelly.
I think you got a movie idea.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they did that for us, where they just remove your nuts? And then put it back in you later?
Would be able to tell the difference.
You would start to develop breasts.
So you pulled took your nuts away.
Yeah.
So you can't have sex.
Yeah, probably
right?
Couldn't have sex.
No, I think you can.
No, because there's nothing to like.
There's nothing to.
Nothing could come
and
out.
You wouldn't even have blood. You wouldn't have testosterone though, so you wouldn't even be like turned on.
Because that's what it is.
Because that's what they used to do. Is they used to
for eunuchs
castrate?
Right?
Yeah. People. Yeah. I mean, they did that on Game of Thrones, right?
Castration is not cutting off the actual thing. It's cutting off the ball.
The balls, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Shit.
You're like, well, I can't have sex, but I'll look hot at 60. All right. So, Black and a Half?
Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Live long and prosper.